Amen. God is good to us, isn't He? If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 14. And while you're there, I don't know if you were here last week, if you remember, we brought Harper up here and we anointed her. We prayed over her because she was going to have a test, and that was Monday. And I wanted to pray before we even had the test. You know, sometimes we wait till the test happens, we get the bad news, and then we start praying. I said, you know what? I'm not going to wait. We're just going to pray before the test and just ask God to move that much quicker. And so that's what we did. She had the test Monday night. We were worried she was going to wiggle all over the place. She stayed still and was fine. But then the Lord made us wait all the way till today to get the results. So, of course, you know, Brooke is calling the doctor's office at once or twice in between and asking if they had any results. And, you know, we had to wait a little bit. But today we found out everything was fine. Amen. Praise God. Everything was fine. That's how God works, doesn't it? You know, you said the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And all we did, that's in the exact same passage where it says, if there's any sick among you, call upon the elders of the church, anoint them with oil, and the prayer of the sick. Prayer of faith shall save the sick. And I believe that. I don't know about you. I've seen it happen way too many times. And I'm just thankful for that. God, He is a prayer answering God. And just like we have seen growth in the nursing home services, I think we have seen growth in our Wednesday night prayer service. I think we have trusted Him more in prayer. We've brought more things to Him in prayer. And we are seeing more things answered. And I'm thankful for that. He's a good God. And I just want to get into His Word a little bit tonight. But Matthew chapter 14 is a familiar story, familiar passage. We're going to start in verse 22. So Matthew 14, 22, it says, so Jesus had just fed the 5,000. That's what had happened before this. And then 22, and straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up to a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus said, went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out in fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. I like that. I don't know about you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this day. We thank You for Your wonderful mercy, and we thank You for blessing us just over and over again and hearing our prayers. And Lord, I ask that You would use me tonight. Lord, fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask that You touch our hearts. Lord, help us, Lord, to see something from Your Word and to act on it tonight. Lord, if there are any lost, I pray that tonight would be the night they would come to know You. And we're asking all these things in the One who is able and the One who listens to our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So like I had said, Jesus, the disciples had just watched Jesus feed the 5,000, and they're amazed at what had just happened. And then that first verse we read said, and straightway. We don't say straightway as much anymore, but that word means immediately. So as soon as the feeding of the 5,000 was over, we have this transition, and there isn't a bunch of time that passes. Jesus says, I want you to get into the ship and go to the other side, by the way, without Me. That's what He's saying right here. I want you to go. And then Jesus sends away the crowd and then goes up to a mountain to pray. So that's what's happening right here. And I've preached this passage before. In fact, it was early on. And I've heard it preached time and time again. And one of the things that I just noticed when I was going over this passage again, and I want us to read something in John chapter 6. This is the same story, but I want us to read the parallel passage here in John chapter 6. It's all right. It's Wednesday night. We can look at two spots, can't we? John 6:15. This is the end of the feeding of the 5,000. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force, the crowd, to make him a king, he departed again into the mountain himself alone. Now look at verse 16. And when even, that's evening, was now come, his disciples went down under the sea and entered into the ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. Same time, same events, two different passages. So we've got Matthew telling the story and we've got John telling the story. Same thing, all right? They were both there. But I noticed something. Remember what we read in Matthew. Jesus told them, or it says he constrained them. That means he strongly urged them. He is telling them. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to stay with Jesus. And Jesus says, I want you to go ahead of me to the other shore. Straightway. Immediately, right? But then we get to John 15 was while Jesus is talking to the crowd. He's getting rid of the crowd. He's saying, you got to go home. You've already been fed. We're done teaching. This is over. They're wanting to make him a king. And it is not time, and it is not God's will for him to become king yet. So he sends them away, and he goes into a mountain by himself to pray. But verse 16 of John chapter 6, listen again. And when even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship. I saw something that I haven't seen before. Time passed. Jesus said immediately, I want you to go to the other side. John tells us they waited till evening and then got in the ship and then went to the other side. You know what they were doing? They were waiting on Jesus, right? Maybe if we wait a while, he'll be done and he'll join us, right? Even though Jesus said, if I want you immediately, straightway, he constrained them to get the ship, going to the other side. He says, do it now. And they waited.
Yeah.
Do you know what this means? This changes this story a little bit. See, when I preached it last time, I looked at my notes, and one of the points that I said at the beginning when I was sort of setting up the scene, you know, one of the things is Jesus prepared them for the storm. Remember, they fed the 5,000, they took up the 12 loaves and the fishes, and each of them had a basket of what was left over into the storm. But the next thing that I said is he sent them into the storm. And I realized that's not exactly true. Do you realize what happened?
Yeah.
The reason they're in the storm is because they waited.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Jesus said, I want you to go now to the other side without me. I am going to take care of the crowd. And they waited till evening. And what happened? As soon as they got in, as soon as they start rowing, they get out there and a storm comes. I want you to realize something. I believe this is telling us not every storm, but some of the storms we encounter in our life are because we wait.
Yeah.
You know what this is? This is obedience, but it's delayed obedience.
Yeah.
And as I was sitting there and praying about it today, I was thinking, God, you know, I don't want to set something up on just one passage. I'm not like that. I want more than one spot where this has happened. So as I'm sitting there playing with Harper, praying and thinking about it, Lord said, remember Abraham? I said, oh my goodness. Abraham, God called him out of the land of Ur. He said, I want you to leave country. I want you to leave kindred. I want you to leave father's house. Remember that? Where did he go? Instead of going to Canaan, he went halfway to Haran or Haran, however you say it. Until his dad died, and then he went the rest of the way to Canaan. Remember that story? The beginning of Abraham's calling, what did he do? He went halfway with God, and that's where he got blessings and different things, but God never spoke to him. He didn't grow while he was there spiritually. He grew materially, but he didn't grow spiritually. And then finally, he left Haran when his dad died. You know what happened as soon as he got to Canaan?
And I preached this before too. There was a famine.
Yeah.
Now, if he hadn't have spent, and I can't remember how many years, and I didn't look it up, so it's more than 1 year, at least several years in Haran, waiting till his dad died, and then he was going to obey God. If he wouldn't have waited, he would have gotten to Canaan before the famine. God would have prepared everything ahead of time. You don't think God could have prepared ahead of time for the famine?
Yeah.
He did with Joseph.
Right?
He said, you gave him a dream. He said, you get ready. You're going to have 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. You store up and you get ready. God knows how to get us ready for the famine. God knows how to get us ready for the storm. Just like the disciples. There are two instances at least that God showed me where if they would have went exactly when he called them to do it, they wouldn't have immediately faced the storm, immediately faced the trial. And that showed me something, that there are times where we sit there and we delay and we wait for this to happen, or we wait for that to happen, or we finally get it in our mind, or whatever the instance, we finally get all the excuses out of our system and finally obey God, and then realize we're immediately in a storm. But if we would have obeyed right when God said, we would have had time in the place where he wanted us to before the storm started. I think that's important. I do. I don't know about you. But you know what else I love about this story? So you've got the disciples that were being disobedient at that time. They were waiting for Jesus as if he'd come. Let's wait him out and see if he comes. Where's he at? He's on the mountain praying.
Yeah.
I am glad, I don't know about you, but I do not perfectly obey God's will. I don't. And there are times that I've waited too and finally done what he called me to do. There are times when I've done exactly what the disciples do. Wait on God. Maybe God will change his mind. Maybe God will get on my program. Maybe God will realize that my way is right and not what he told me to do. And then finally when I snap out of it, do you realize that whole time where they were being disobedient to the whole time they were in the middle of the trial, there is Jesus standing there praying for them. I am glad that we serve a God that cares about us in obedience and he cares about us in disobedience. I'm telling you what, it is easy for us to be happy about someone, especially a child, when they obey you. Oh, but when they disobey, when they let you down, when they rebel, it is hard to be happy about it. But there is Jesus. He says, I know they're waiting on me, and I know what's going to happen to them, but I'm going to pray for them because they need prayer right now. I thank God for that. And I thank God that he has used us to do that as well. There are people out here that are waiting on God, waiting on something to happen. They're waiting on something, maybe even in the church too. And I'm glad he puts them on our mind and we pray for them as well. God cares. He even cares about you when you disobey. Isn't that amazing? There's the disciples. There's a handful of professional fishermen in that boat. So you know what they're going to do. They do what we would do. You're in a storm, and it's what you know about, right? They've been through many a storm on that exact same sea. That's where they fished, right? For years and years. They fished over and over again. They knew that a storm could pop up instantly in that region. You know what they do? They just buckle down. And they keep rowing. And they keep rowing. You know what I miss? I kept reading them over and over again, each of the parallel passages of this story. And I did not see where they prayed to Jesus or called on Jesus or called on God or asked for help.
Yeah.
No. They said, we're fishermen. We've been through this before. We're just going to keep doing it on our own strength. Isn't that what we do?
Yeah.
I'm going to raise my hand and say, I will be the first to admit that as long as Mike thinks he's got it, he's going to keep doing it himself. It's only every once in a while that I do like I did last week and just give it to God at the beginning. That's the exception. Don't think I'm a super Christian or anything like that. That is God working on me, and I'm saying, God, you're right. He wants us to turn to him before you exhaust everything.
Yeah.
And that's what they were doing. They were exhausting everything that they knew. They were trying to do this on their own. And God does not want you to do that. He doesn't want you to spend 1 minute of your life on your own. He said His yoke is easy and His burden is light. So if it feels like it's not easy and it feels like you're getting weighed down, odds are you're trying to do it on your own and you're not relying on His strength. Because I don't know about you, when He comes, remember Brother Corey, he said God helped, God picked it up, God made the load lighter. And as soon as he preached that and explained that, I said, I don't know how many times in my life that's been true. I've been laden down, I've been struggling, and then I turn to God and say, God, I need your help. And there it just feels lighter. I can take a step even easier. That's what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to struggle like that.
Yeah.
But there they were, rowing and rowing and rowing on their own power. That's us.
Yeah.
That's us. The ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, and the wind was contrary. This was a bad storm. This was a bad one. I'm telling you, they were just going and going.
But you know what's something important? I don't care how bad the storm gets in your life. You cannot stop rowing.
Yeah.
I'll give them credit for that. You cannot quit on Jesus Christ. I don't care how bad it gets, you keep going. Because you don't know how much longer you have to keep going. It could be only one more second and it's over. And I'm here to tell you, those trials that I have been through, when I think back of how long it really wasn't that long. In fact, I've spent more time on the mountain. I've spent more time praising God, shouting, feeling wonderful and feeling thankful than I ever did in a trial. But I will tell you something. Every time I've been in trial, I've learned something. What have I learned? I can row further than I ever thought I could. I can keep going further than I ever thought. Why? Because there is Jesus praying for me. There's the Holy Spirit filling me. There is Christians all around me saying, Mike, you keep going. I'm praying for you. I want you to keep going. And that is exactly what's happening here. And I can see people getting stronger. And I can see people making it through. And I'm here to tell you, we're almost done. Don't quit rowing now. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
You know what's wonderful? Is there they are, crying out. There they are, troubling, toiling, and rowing.
And here comes Jesus. You know what? I don't care what the picture looks like. Jesus was still walking while the storm was happening. If you go down in the passage, the storm didn't quit till he stepped foot on the boat. It was after the whole Peter thing. Yeah.
Right? Because Peter saw the waves and that's what scared him.
Yeah.
The storm was going the entire time. Jesus is walking down the mountain. He's going across the water. And they're about halfway out. 9 hours, I think. 6, 9, something, 10. I didn't write it down. But they had spent a long time to only go about 6 miles. And they're professional fishermen. And they're thinking, this is about it. We're done. It's late at night. It's in the middle of the night, the darkest hour, and here comes Jesus Christ walking on the water. That's what he does, doesn't he? Here he comes. You realize he would not let them sink. And he will not let us sink either. And in fact, I'll skip ahead. You look at Peter when he steps out there. If you read that passage and when it talks about Peter getting worried, it didn't say that Peter sank again. Quit thinking about the pictures that you see where he's underwater and Jesus is above water. It says he began to sink. That means he didn't go under. I get so sick of people saying that the church is going under. Peter was in the church. Peter was on the same rock that we are founded on right now, right?
Amen.
Jesus said, this is the rock that I'm building my church on, and you're standing on it right now with your testimony about me. They say this church, these churches that preach the same gospel, that go with the old-fashioned way, that preach the truth, and just not, won't change to these new fads, that they're going to die out, that they're going to go under. I am here to tell you, Peter just began to sink, and Jesus picked him back up again. He just barely started going down. And I'm here to tell you, that's you and I too. We just barely start to go. You and I aren't going under. This storm's not going to take us down. The enemy's not going to win. This church isn't going to end. Jesus Christ is there to help. And I'm glad. I just think about all those times I'm in a trial, toiling and rowing, just like they were, feeling like it's hopeless and helpless. We've been in storms, but this one's the worst I've ever seen. The ship's taken on water. We're about to go down, and we don't even realize how close Jesus is.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad?
Amen.
There he comes. But you know what? Mark tells us, in Mark's version of it, which is Mark chapter 6 and verse 48, this is talking about Jesus, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. About the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and it says, and would have passed by them. That's important. You know what that means? He wasn't headed to the boat. He was headed to the other shore. Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It says he would have walked right by that boat. Like I said, I preached this one before. And when I was praying about it years back, I said, God, I don't understand. I don't understand. Why would you walk by them? It was your disciples. You had watched them. You had prayed for them. You knew what they were going through. You were walking on the water to go save them. And it says you would have passed them right by. And I still remember today, the Lord said, wait a second, Mike. I pass by all the time. I pass by people. I pass through churches. And I will not stop unless what happens? They cried out to him.
Yeah.
That's what caused Jesus to turn and look at them and say, be of good cheer.
Yeah.
It is I. Be not afraid. And then he gets on the boat and calms the storm. And it's over. I am here to tell you, Jesus will not force his way onto your boat. He won't force his way into your life. And in fact, if you know the story of the road to Emmaus, remember Jesus had died. He had rose that morning, and they were all confused in Jerusalem. They didn't understand. The tomb was empty. And there Jesus appears as two are walking from Jerusalem on the way to Emmaus. They're talking about what's going on. And Jesus appears, and he says, why are you so sad? And they say, have you not heard? Like, what are you, crazy? This is the news of the town. Jesus died, and they buried him, and now his tomb is empty. We don't know what happened. We're all confused. And then Jesus starts explaining the Old Testament and putting himself into it. And as they're walking, and it says they got to the house, and it has the exact same phrase. He would have passed by. But what did they do? They said, you're coming in here.
Yeah.
You're coming into my house.
Yeah. Amen.
He's not going to force his way in.
That's right.
And he won't force his way into your life.
That's right. That's right.
But I'm telling you what, I believe there are times when he passes by this way, and then he passes by that way, and he passes by this way, and he is trying to get your attention. He is showing you love. He is giving you glimpses of his mercy. He is showing you that he cares for you, but he will not stop until you cry out to him. And I remember the day when the Holy Spirit touched my heart when I was 9 years old. I had grown up in church, but I'm telling you what, that story was so different that day. It's not that the preacher got up and preached something different. It's that the Holy Spirit touched my heart, and that message hit inside of me, and I said, wait a second, I am a sinner. Wait a second, I need Jesus. Wait a second, you're telling me that if I don't ask Jesus to save me from my sins, I'm going to hell? I need Jesus in my life. And we got home that night, and I remember us praying in that living room over there in Ashley. And it was just a short prayer. And as soon as that was done, I was saved that night. And He changed me in my life. He was passing by my life. And I cried out to Him. I'm telling you, the same thing can happen to you tonight.
Amen.
The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yeah. Amen.
But He won't force it.
That's right.
But He wants you tonight. I'm here to tell you, church, we're going to make it.
Yeah.
Amen.
We're going to make it to the other side.
Amen.
We're going to make it. We may go through storms from time to time. We will. And some of the storms, unfortunately, I figured out are our own doing.
Yeah.
But you know what? Whether it's our own fault or whether it's just the storm that's brewing, it doesn't matter. You do the same thing. You keep on rowing. You keep going. You don't stop. You don't quit on the church. You don't quit on Jesus. You don't quit praying.
Amen.
You keep on going.
Amen.
The worst thing you can do is to quit.
That's right.
Because the devil that already has a little bit of hold on you, he'll get a bigger hold.
Yeah.
When you start listening to him and you say, you're right, that church hasn't been that good to me. I can find a better one. You're right. I've prayed. It's not really working. That's the devil talking to you. Those are all lies. That's him talking to you. Jesus Christ is up there praying for you, watching you. He says, I'm with you.
Yes.
And we're going to get to the other side
together.
You may have to spend some time in the boat, and you may be scared for a little while, but I got my eye on you.
Yeah.
I heard a preacher preaching this, and you know, some of the intellectual types, they're like, it was so dark, there was no way Jesus could see them that many miles out on the sea. And I'm just sitting there thinking, are you serious? You're telling me 10 minutes before he walked on the water, he couldn't see them through the storm? Goodness. Pray for that man. Goodness gracious. There he comes. There's Peter. I think Peter learned a lesson that night too. We preach that a lot. We talk about it a lot. What Peter did, and I hear all kinds of people, should he have done that? Shouldn't he? You know, asking all kinds of things. But you know what? You know what I noticed about that? This time, he asked the Lord.
Yeah.
It's you, and you want me to. Can I walk on the water to come to you?
Yeah.
The same ones that were disobedient are now asking, Lord, can I just come closer to you? Lord, if it's you, can I come closer?
Yeah.
That's what he's asking. You think Jesus is going to say no to that?
Right.
He said, come.
Amen.
Come. That's the same come he's saying in Revelation. All who have ears, come. Jesus Christ, he wants you today. He wants a relationship with you. It doesn't matter if your parents are saved. It doesn't matter if your friends are saved. It doesn't matter that you've come tonight. It doesn't matter that you've been doing good things. The only thing that matters is if you know Jesus Christ.
Yes, amen.
The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Yeah.
We can't perfectly follow God's will, but Jesus Christ did.
Yes.
He followed everything perfectly, and he died for our sins willingly. And then he's got a gift for you. It's called eternal life, forgiveness of sins, and he'll help you through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's what he's got. But that gift, you have to receive it. And the only way you receive it is if you come to him.